Hi, my name is Katie, and I'm a grateful member of this program.
Hi, Katie.
I would like to add to that I am the problem, because one of the most important things I have learned and continue to learn is I need to keep the focus on myself. Is it hot enough for everyone? Does that mean yes? I was wondering when Art was talking, how many people in this room have more than 10 years in the program? If you do, raise your hand, and I know Peggy does. More than 10 years in the program. And everyone else has less than 10 years. I haven't reached that point yet myself. And the reason I ask that question is I've thought about this a lot in the last year, and that's that I see that a lot. And the one thing I absolutely positively know is that if I stop coming to this meeting, these meetings, I'm going to stop growing. And it's just so important to keep coming back. I really am not sure what I'm going to talk about. I hope within this process I talk about my experience, my strength, and my hope. And I'll start at the beginning. I am an adult child of an alcoholic, but I didn't live with alcohol in my home. So I can remember as a child wondering what was really going on. I kind of always had the sense that there was something not being talked about, but I never really knew what it was or what wasn't quite right. And I carried that into my adult life. I never saw anyone drinking. There wasn't drinking in family parties, any of that thing. I was 30 years old before I discovered that my father had a drinking problem. And that happened very quickly. As most things in my life do, it seems like a crisis will come upon me and it's just there. Within the course of about 3 months, I discovered that my father was an alcoholic, that his father had been an alcoholic, that my mother's father was an alcoholic. And within the next year, I was discovered that I had two alcoholic brothers and a sister who was married to an alcoholic and a drug addict. And my husband at the time, sister, was married to a drug addict and alcoholic also. And that was kind of overwhelming. I came into the program within 3 weeks of my father hitting his bottom and going into detox, and I knew it was where I needed to be. I knew that those people in that room were saying my life, even though it didn't quite click, because they would talk about their father drinking or their husband drinking, and in some instances, children. But mostly I ran into wives whose husbands were drinking. And it felt comfortable, and I stuck around, and I stayed there. And I'm really glad I did. I moved to California 2 years after I was in the program, and I took a little bit of time off. And I can remember very distinctly standing in my home one day, because my life had gotten just totally insane, and saying, "Oh, you know, wake up, Katie. You haven't been to a meeting in about 8 or 9 months." And I knew that's where I needed to go. And I didn't walk, I ran to the closest meeting I could find, which at that time happened to be in San Jose. I think it's very fortunate that I did that. Shortly after that, my second child, I have three children. My oldest child is 22, and my middle daughter is now 18, and my youngest son is 15. Soon after that, my daughter started attending a few Alateen meetings here and there, and occasionally going to an Al-Anon meeting with me. And she was in fifth grade. I thought it was kind of interesting, but it was kind of nice that she wanted to go with me. And I really believed in my program, and it felt good to have her involved in that. She was having problems at that time dealing with social pressure, and we had only been here for about a year. And I kind of sort of thought that it had something to do with adjusting to the move and the fact that she was going into puberty, pre-adolescent stuff. She was about 11. She managed to make it through fifth grade, and she even managed to be in an accelerated class in junior high with excellent grades. Teachers were saying she had leadership capacity. By the end of that year, life changed again very rapidly, that quickly. About 3 weeks before school got out, my daughter had gone on a science club trip, which is very common here in California. And about a week after that, I went to the school to talk to the counselor about something, and he took me outside, and he told me that my daughter had passed some information on to a friend, which got back to him. And I was soon to discover that my daughter had been the victim of a molest when she was approximately 5 or 7 years old by a neighbor boy in the last state that we had lived. And that was very devastating for me. There's a woman in this room right now who was with me that week when I found that out. Again, things began to happen very quickly in my life. Within 2 weeks, my daughter was gone, and she was gone for approximately 2 months. And that led into a period of runaway alcohol and drug abuse and sexual acting out behavior that went on for 5 years. And I never would have made it through if it hadn't been for the people in the rooms at Al-Anon, working my steps, keeping in touch with my sponsor, who, I don't see my sponsor here this evening, but most of you know Jeannie. She's a very difficult person to get a hold of. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. And I grappled with that for a long time, and one of the things that I've learned is that maybe I wasn't supposed to get a hold of her, that God wanted me to work it out on my own. Or maybe it was just the fact that I was afraid to pick up the phone and call somebody else, because I didn't want to go through all that stuff and explain it to somebody else. She just knew the whole story. It was pointed out to me recently that I didn't necessarily have to call someone that knew the whole story. You know, and I've been around for almost 10 years, and I'm still learning things all the time. She's a very special lady, and she was meant to be in my life. Kelly. That behavior went on for quite a long time. It's been about 5.5 years. Not knowing where she was at, I learned about detaching. Sometimes I didn't detach with love. Sometimes I couldn't detach with love. Everything I've learned in my life, God's had to hit me over the head with a 2x4. That's just who I am. I don't get it sometimes. I just don't get it. And I've struggled with that. I really have. I love my daughter dearly. She's not what I expected, but she's what God gave me. And she was meant to be in my life. And I've learned so much from her. And I still do. About 4 years ago, it became increasingly clear that my husband and I were starting to go separate ways. Obviously, the pressure of what was going on with our daughter was a factor. But it became extremely clear that we were going in totally different directions, and that we were very, very different people, and that we'd grown very, very apart. I ended a 19-year marriage, and I've been very lucky in that respect, too, because the program allowed me to end that marriage on a fairly positive note. And after a little over 4 years of divorce, I have a contact with my ex-husband that is extremely comfortable. He can even talk to my present husband about the interaction between my children. I learned about my behavior in that relationship. I've been able to take responsibility for the mistakes I made in that relationship, to make amends to him. Oftentimes I still catch myself in the relationship that I'm in now saying, oh yeah, I did that. And I know it wasn't all his fault that marriage didn't work out. So I ended a 19-year marriage. Strangely enough, guess what, guys? I found this man. It wasn't in a bar, but it was in an AA meeting. And I'm presently married to a recovering alcoholic. And I sometimes wonder what it would have been like to live with him when he's drinking, because, man, he has some strange personality traits and just... But you know what? I'm taking his inventory right now, and I need to stop that. And I have been known to do that. And sometimes he reminds me that I am, and sometimes I argue that, no, I'm not. Take your own inventory. But he's working his program to the best of his ability. And we were meant to be each other. With each other. We were really meant to be with each other. I've learned a lot from that relationship, too. We've been married for about 3.5 years, and he has 2 children of his own that I love dearly. They're great kids, and I like kids. I've spent a great portion of my life working with children, and I'm trying to get a degree as a teacher. About 2.5 years ago, his ex-wife, who has chosen not to be involved in 12-step programs, decided to move out of the area. And there appeared to be some really extreme, dangerous situations going on in their home with their soon-to-be stepfather. And so we learned a whole lot about letting go of those things, too, and keeping our nose out of other people's business. But it's really hard when you're working with children to figure out when you can be there, when you do the footwork, and when you need to step back and just let God take over and let things happen. My husband chose to file custody for those children, or a custody suit, 2.5 years ago, and it's been an ongoing battle since that time. Painful at times. How many people in this room have ever been involved in the step family? I got one, I got two. That's a very difficult thing. You take two families that have been out here somewhere, doing their own thing, having their own traditions, having their own life, and you suddenly throw them in the same house and then expect them to get along. And I'll tell you what, it ain't the Brady Bunch. It is not the Brady Bunch, and I'm not June Cleaver. And I kind of expected when I got into that relationship that everything was just going to fall in place, you know, and everybody was going to get along and everything was just fine. And I find that amazing, too. I mean, you know, where's reality here, Katie? You know, you guys are both still from dysfunctional families, and you're going to put these two families together, and everything's going to work out in about a year. Wrong. Our children like to joke with us about it. They say that we fight about silly things like silverware and toilet paper, you know, crazy stuff like that. But you know, isn't that what regular families fight about, too? Well, it's kind of funny, guys, but I don't know what this dog is doing in here. He can come up here. I'll talk to him. Probably listen about as well as my kids do. Anyway, in regards to my relationship with my stepkids, it was probably a whole lot easier. I've had experience with children, and that made it easier. I could relate to them. And I've been very lucky in that respect, too, because our relationship has developed in such a way that I can very, very honestly say to you that we've reached a place where I've built bonds without blood. They consider me a safe person that they can trust, a friend that they can go to, and they tell things to me that they couldn't tell their parents. And I think that's a result of these rooms, too. That's a good feeling, to be at that place. My husband's had to struggle more with his relationship with my son. He's not dealt with pre-adolescence, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm totally convinced that teenagers are going through the terrible twos one more time. I mean, they're out there, and they're doing the same stuff. It's just that they're a little taller, and they're a little wider. And that's kind of what it's like watching them. It's like watching two kids fighting with each other. But I've struggled with that, too. It's been really hard to keep myself separate from their relationship. You know, sometimes they tell me, well, he's doing this, and why can't Jim leave me home? Jim's my husband. Why can't Jim leave me alone and let me take care of my own life? Well, this is my house, and don't I have anything to say about it? And they want me to fix it, and then as soon as I say something to them, they say, well, why are you in the middle of it anyway? So I'm still learning. I'm learning every day. I mentioned the custody suit. This has been a long, long, hard week. I was at the Tuesday meeting, and there's several people in the room here that know what I'm talking about. And I stood up and talked, and I said that Wednesday was the trial. Wednesday was the day that I worried about for 2.5 years and prayed to God and asked everyone in those rooms to pray that those people that were going to be making the decision about where those children should be, where their best interests lied, that God would speak to them. And we had already been told that the odds of our winning that case were 10%. We had 10% odds of winning it. And I've experienced many miracles in this program. They do happen, guys. The trial happened Wednesday, and we didn't finish. I sweated having to testify in a court. Fear is a big issue in my life, having to get out there and say the right thing and be the right thing. And guess what, guys? I didn't have to testify Wednesday. The trial went into Thursday. But that was okay, because by Thursday, an amazing thing happened to me. After close to 10 years in this program, I let go for the first time ever. I've often said I am that person that everything I've ever let go of has claw marks all over it. And it happened. It absolutely happened. There was no fear. I was so confused. I couldn't believe it. It was like, I couldn't feel. I was like, there's no stuff going on inside my stomach. What's wrong? You know, I can remember getting in the car Thursday morning, and my husband's with me. He kept saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you going to be all right? I'm fine. You know, and he put on the radio, and I'm singing, and I love music. I was singing down the freeway, and it was like, yeah, this is cool, you know. And in the past, when I've been in situations like this, I've asked God to speak through me. I asked him to do that, and I knew he was going to do it. I didn't even, you know, there was no doubt there. Yeah, he is going to do it. And an amazing thing happened. I got up on that stand, and two words hit me, honesty and candor. I'd read it in the ODAT. I'm not sure whether it was Wednesday morning or Thursday morning because it was kind of a blur, but that's what came to me. And all I had to do was tell the truth. And I don't remember all the questions that were asked, but I remember that the last question that the opposing attorney asked me was, are you ready to hear the decision of the courts? And I said, absolutely. I'm absolutely ready to hear what it is. And we took a break, and I walked out of that courtroom, and our attorney told us that the children's attorney had decided that he was going to tell the judge that the children needed to be with us. 10% odds. Things were moving. And there was one witness left to testify. Within a half an hour, we were told that the children were going to be with us. We beat the odds. And that was a miracle, an absolute miracle. I can't believe it's happened. But you see, I know it doesn't end there. It's not over. The legal stuff's not cleaned up yet. And there's still people's lives that are living together that still have to do some adjustment. And I can't just stop coming to meetings. I'm going to need these meetings as much as I ever did, if not more. I still need them for my daughter. My daughter is not living with me. She's living with her father now. That was something that I had to let go of. She left under uncomfortable circumstances last September, and I had to testify about why she wasn't in my life. She's with her dad, and as I said earlier, I have a relationship with him that is comfortable enough that we're able to work together. That's because of this program. What can I say? Everything that's happened in my life was a carefully orchestrated plan from the moment of my birth until now. It wasn't easy. It's been a hard stretch the last 8 years of my life, a hard stretch. And it was made more comfortable by being here. The thing that's running through my head now happens to be the song I was listening to as I was driving down the freeway. And the words to it went something like this. Work like you don't need the money. Love like you'll never get hurt. And play like nobody's watching. Because it's got to come from the heart if you want it to work. And I think that's all I have to say. Keep coming back, and thank you.